Hallelujah. So good to be with family, worshiping the Lord. Amen. Amen. Revelation 21, verse 5. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Not too long ago, we talked about that these aren't just instruction, they're your life. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." All those things that we know, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. All of those verses that are very familiar to us, other verses that are familiar to us, we should be familiar with the Word of God, right? And so, we know better. I grew up with a lot of those kind of statements. "Roger, you know better. You know better than that." In school, we were told, "You know better than that. You know better." "Roger, you know better." Taught by my mother. "You know better." And that was very true in our generation. But that has kind of fallen to the wayside, sort of. And we very often are like the Bible says, and everyone went their own way. And when everyone goes their own way, it's a mess. I listened to a guy, I can't tell you his name, but I listened to an interview with him on PragerU, and he's like an encyclopedia, but in studies of the foundations of our law and how it got to that law and how we became a Judeo-Christian nation there's some things that I don't think I have to tell you, but I'm just going to throw them out there, okay? Because of the simple fact of, so that we can say that we know better. We know that the Muslim faith has one plan, and that is to overtake wherever it goes. That's the way they've always been. Now, I knew nothing much about them. I learned more in an hour and 10 minutes than I knew, but the fact is that that's how they've always taken over places, is they immigrate, then they influence, then they take over positions, and then everybody is welcome to be a Muslim, but they aren't welcome to live if they're not. Okay? And so we live in South Dakota. We don't have much confrontation from Sharia law, but we need to know Sharia law is bad, and we need to be willing to say, that's bad. We don't want that. We need to be willing to say that this guy said that, there's Muslim and there's Islam. Islam, though, they're kind of the not so good of Muslims, but when the Muslims take over, they're as happy to kill them as they are to kill you and me. And so that turns those that are just kind of casually into serious. And so they jump into it. So somebody could be your best friend one day, and if that all changes, sorry, I got to go with the way I can live, And so we need to know those things so that we can stand and say what's true, say what's right, because we know better. We know what God says about things. We don't know everything about what God says about things, but guess what? You've been given a spirit so that you can discern. Vicki and I needed to go to Rapids. She had a meeting, and so coming back, I stopped to fill with gas, and the person at the gas station, you know, the thing is, the sign said one thing, and the pump said another thing, and so I went in. I said, "Oh, must have been an inversion of figures up there." He said, "I'm sorry about the sign." You know, he said, "But it's windy, and those aren't easy to change." I said, "Hey, that's okay." I said, "It's not out of line, and it's okay. It was a really good deal on the sign. It's not a good deal. That doesn't make any difference." And he proceeded to say, "Well, this thing in Iran, and I'm not a big fan of this thing in Iran." And I said, "Well, I guess I am a fan of it, because I don't want missiles flying at America." He said, "Well, you know," he said, being a history buff, he said, "they won't take us over by power. They'll take us over because we don't have enough people anymore." And I said, "Then we the people need to say something. We need to stand. You know, we need to say something. So I'm just saying something. You know, I'm glad that you understand that. So say something." See, we know. We do know better. A lot of times we know better, and we don't want to say anything. Vicki had an opportunity this week. She was at Hall's, and some guy was out of mouth. And she said, "Really?" And looked at her and kept, "Seriously?" And maybe ratcheted it down a little bit, and they got done, and she walked out, and she was going to give him her finger. And he thought she was waving at him. Maybe he got a revelation. But you know something? Say something. Say something. You know the truth? The truth will make you free. It can make other people free too. And so we know these things, right? And the things that we know, then we know better when something isn't better. And the only way people will know that we know better, and a lot of times when you're willing to say what's right, it's like that quick, yeah. They'll flip on a switch. You give them courage to say something and say, yeah. You know? If you get one person that would be glad to have you say something, then, you know, okay, listen. Everybody gets offended from now on then, you know? Now and then they get offended. And what if I offend somebody? If I offend somebody with the truth, I don't care. The truth. Because God said you need to speak the truth. He didn't say, way back, I wrote a song that said, you know, what good does it do to love Jesus if we're the only ones we let know? What good does it do to love Jesus if we hide behind doors that are closed? For 40 years, more than 40 years, we've been one of them. Right? Pretty much. One of them. Well, let's not just rest on our history. We weren't one of them. We are one of them. Still the truth. Rejoicing in the Lord. I'm sorry, but I'm not just going to glide out of life now that I've crossed 70. You know? Because now more than ever, people need to know. More than ever. Because there's too many that don't know. They don't know better. They actually believe that this is what we do now, so it's okay. How did we get to this is what we do now? Okay? So we know. We know what's true, and we know what's right, and we know what's just, and we know what's good, and we know what's worthy of praise. We know that. And what is our victory? Our victory is Jesus. And what are we shooting for? We're shooting for, well, The Lord said, I'm making everything new. How about if he makes things new now? How about? The other night, I was sleeping and I woke up and I was just thinking about how much I enjoy a relationship with Jesus. How, you know, because it's a one-on-one. It's absolutely a one-on-one. I realize there's a lot of other people on the line, but I know I'm at the front of my line. I know that. And then I started thinking about heaven, and I started thinking, you know, Lord, I think heaven's going to be swell, but will we lose the one-on-one thing? You know, I mean, because like there'll be a crowd. But of course, we have the mind of Christ, and we know it can still be one-on-one, but I said, Lord, I just love it. I just love one-on-one. There's no one in between us. Even though you're there and I'm here, I just love that. And he just interrupted me. He said, I'm here now. Now, I know that. That's not rocket science. That's something that I know. But I know it better now. Because I was talking to him about what I knew, but suddenly I knew even better. And you see, now's the time. Then that'll be a different time. I know I'll adapt. I know I'll adapt to heaven. I know I can be in a crowd. I don't know if in the crowd I'll be able to say, you know, he listens to everything I say. We'll kind of know those things. See, there's going to be some switches there in how we handle it. But I'm telling you, I love the one-on-one with Jesus now. And the Lord said, now don't neglect this special gift. And we don't want to just not neglect that special gift, but we want it to increase. And you know part of how it increases? Say something. You know, there are some people that we might think, well, it'd be okay if they went to hell, but there isn't anybody that we really want. Okay, so I'm the only one that ever thinks these things, right? Yeah.
Just stick their toes in the fire for a while.
What's that?
Just stick their toes in the fire.
Yeah, John and I did that once. Not on purpose. We prayed for a guy, and he just started wanting to get out of his bed. His feet were hot. You know, we're going, man, what do you do with a preview like that? You know? But even after that, I lived this long without God, and I've lived this, I'm not going to need him now. We can only hope that that changed over the course of the next few days. You know? I mean, because my concern, there are some people that I really like that might just go to hell. I mean, really like. We love everybody, I get that. You know? But folks, we have a voice to speak. We need to loose that and let it go. So we know some things. We know some things. We know lots of things. And, oh yes, we still have things going on. There's always something to do. Always something to do. But there's nothing more important than Jesus. There's nothing more important than our families knowing Jesus. I want to live long enough for my grandkids to have understanding so I can tell them about Jesus. I'm expecting them to be told about Jesus by others too, but I want Grandpa. I want them to remember Grandpa. You know, I want them to remember. I don't care if they remember that Grandpa was a nut. I don't care, you know. But one day they'll say, I'm glad he was. You know, it's like that song the guy said, Grandma used to pray out loud by her bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, son, that kind of praying's what changed my life. You ought to try it sometime. He said, my grandma was right. She was talking to Jesus, you know. See, there's like the enemy has flipped the script so much, and people are just happy to go their own way. They're content to forget, even if they knew. It's like, well, it wasn't that important. It is, it was, it always will be that important. Every now and then I do a Marco Polo to Day Family. We got a bunch of people on that, and I just give them a little annual or whatever, biannual, about how wonderful God is. About deeply being in love with Him. How blessed I am to know Him. He's the air that I breathe, you know, and I don't know what I say. I'd have to go back and listen. But anyway, I was just reading my Bible, and I just felt like I was supposed to do something. So pop around and say, hey, kids, here I am. You know, Holy Spirit will just pop into your mind and say, here I am. And if He tells us something, you know, it's like, I love that, Tara. I forgot that I wasn't supposed to sell my house, and God had told me not to sell my house until after it was sold. Yeah. You didn't buy it back, though, did you?
No.
That's all right. These things happen. These things happen. So we let those things remind us. When God said, I'm here now, He wasn't saying, Roger, don't you know? He was saying, I'm here now. It was kind of like saying, but I'm here now. It's like the priest and I, whose wife ended up at the altar mumbling, and the priest thought she was drunk, you know. But before that, he said, well, what? Why do you need children? You've got me. Isn't that better than 10 sons, you know? I mean, he wasn't making himself something big, but he was saying to her, look, I love you. I love you. Isn't that worth something? Yeah. It's so nice of God to say, I'm here now. See, because my faith said He was there now, but every now and then Vicki will say to me, now look at me. She doesn't trust me to hear her if I'm not looking at her. No. You're wonderful. I wouldn't talk about you if you weren't wonderful. I'd say that woman.
I agree with you, Vicki.
That I'm awful?
No.
Oh. Well, thank you for clarifying that, Judy. Yeah, it's a husband and wife. There's a lot of husband and wife things, you know. And that's okay, you know. But sometimes, I could say the same thing. But I don't. Oh, go ahead, she says. No. Mornings are always interesting. God has my attention. I have God's attention. I have to wait for her attention. But that's okay, because she's got earbuds in, listening to things. You know? But we have these promises. And these promises are good, and they're wonderful. And they're worthwhile. And we know, we have a spirit that senses that just is not right. And we come up with things that we say like, I know I should have said something, but I couldn't think of anything to say. I just start making noise, something will come. What are you doing? I'm trying to think of something to say to you. Because you are really out of line. You know? I mean, let me help you. Let me help you. Jesus was always helping. And that's why he saves us and He trains our hands for war. You know? He trains us to hear the truth, say the truth. And, you know, we have. We live in paradise. Pretty well protected from all the nonsense. It's like fighting wars in other countries. You know, it's like, just keep it over there. And so, you know, we know, but you know, the craziness isn't that far away. You know? It's not far away at all. And so we know better. And when we know better, we're given the opportunity. I mean, how blessed are we to know better? But as I say, we've been quiet. But we can't be now. Yeah. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to pray for the Save America law. We need to pray for that. And we need to pray with Texas for no Sharia law in Texas. Even though we shake our heads and go, how could that possibly even be voted for or need to be voted for? But it needs to be voted for when enough of those who will go along with it live there. And then if you others who know better go, well, you know, we don't want to offend them, we're going to have to be offensive sometime. So we know better. Now, I was reading in Kings, and, you know, that's just a book like this, you know. This king was evil. This king taught them to worship idols. This king put up a Asherah pole. This king did this. And then this king came, and he took them down, but he didn't take them all down, you know. He told people to worship the Lord, but he left the sticks up so they could still worship the other things. But he was better than the other one, you know. And then we get to Manasseh, and Manasseh is like the worst of the worst of the worst. And his dad was one of the best. And then after a couple more after that comes Josiah, and Josiah was a good king. He was a good king. Although he did show all of his treasures to another king when the king came. But the Lord came to Josiah because Josiah heard the word, ripped his clothes. Suddenly he knew what the law said. His daddy didn't. His daddy was terrible. So he knew what the law said, and now he's gonna do things right. And so the Lord comes to him, and the Lord says to him, okay, here's the deal. Payback is coming for all the evil. But you've been good. So in your lifetime, it won't be. But as soon as you're gone, there's trouble. Now, I imagine that Josiah told quite a few people that, so that they could pray and turn it away, so they could know better. But apparently it weren't that many. And so we have opportunity to turn things away. We have opportunities because we know better. When I met Jesus and I returned home and talked to my parents about there being more to Jesus, I heard those same words again. But Raj, we didn't know better. Wonderfully moral, kind, loving, generous people. But they didn't know better. Because they hadn't been exposed to the presence of God or the closeness of God. And they left the closeness of God to others And my response was, we can't do anything about the past, but let's go, because we know better. Things are not beyond repair as long as the repairmen show up. We are the repair people. We aren't going to speak to a billion people, but that video that you watched this morning, when I met Pastor Rogers, he was at the Mormon church. I suspected that he was because of the name of the church. I had Googled it. And they tried to kill him two or three times once he left. But he didn't quit. They were taking in orphans into their home. They had five or six or something like that, because it was the thing to do when they didn't have anything. And he learned and followed the Word of God. And he's gone to places that he shouldn't have gone to, and thousands of people and hundreds of churches have been established. And then in the place where he lives now, you saw that the governor invited him to hold a citywide crusade in an arena. Looked like it was more probably moved outdoors. I don't know. But anyway, it was a large place with lots and lots and lots and lots of people. The governor bought him the suits so he would look famous. I don't know. So anyway, but you know. And they had 50,000 people from lost to found to making a difference, even after his wife is chopped to death with a machete. The orphanage grows, and God will make a way if we will be a voice. So when we are, wherever we are, be prepared. Remember last week we said available, be available. Because we know. And we know the joy of sharing the joy. Right? So when we know better, let's say better. Amen? So Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we know you. Psalm 107 says, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out and tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. I'm a servant of God. We are servants of God, Lord. Run that through us like a loop. You're a servant of God, you're a servant of God, and I'm with you. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen.